WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The cartoons of Roz Chast are regularly published in The New Yorker magazine. You can always recognize one of her cartoons. Each frame is outlined in thin, squiggly lines and captioned in her wiry, nervous print. But her ideas are even more distinctive about anxieties, objects, and abstractions that few cartoonists could tackle. Her new book, Mondo Boxo, is a collection of her cartoon short stories. In the story, How Are Clichés Made?, she describes the cliché world plant in Matawan, New Jersey. Then there's Camp Mandatory Fun, where you'll have lots of fun or else. And she describes the perfect family. They don't use very much salt, but when they do, it's sea salt. Please take a good look at the label, because if you try to buy some, you will probably get the wrong brand.
I guess they're just sort of this sort of perfect, obnoxious little family that you read about a lot in magazines and newspapers, and they're always doing everything sort of right, and they eat right, and they keep fit, and they like themselves a whole lot, and they're very clever, and I'm very happy for them, really.
Are you really? You resent them.
I don't know if I really resent them. I think they're kind of funny.
Did you ever want to be perfect yourself like that?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, especially when you read about these, oh, I don't know, I can't remember her name. She's some hostess and she has some book out, and I saw her on TV and she was so funny. She was just talking about setting a table for a company, and she just went on and on and on about the placemats and the napkins and the fork and the knife and the spoon and this glass and that glass, and everything was very clever, and, you know, it was like cauliflower centerpieces, and I mean, it just was sort of funny.
Now, you have another cartoon.
But, I mean, I admire her, too, you know.
Should we call them cartoons? Because they're little stories.
Yeah, they're cartoons.
Okay. You have one cartoon called Poets on Strike, about the great poetry strike of 1989, in which they brought in scabs, but the scabs only wrote things like roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is white. And after 6.5 months, an agreement was reached, and even the most depressed poet was happy, sort of. That cartoon made me think of what an unusual job you have. Kind of like the poets going on strike. Poets don't go on strike. Nobody notices poets. And cartoonists, I mean, you're at home all day, most likely, trying to come up with ideas. Is that a difficult and lonely life?
There are times when it's harder than others. When it's going well, it seems like the easiest job in the world. And when it's not, then it's, I wouldn't say, you know, necessarily the hardest job in the world, but then it's just harder.
What do you do when it's time to turn one out and the idea isn't coming?
Kind of maybe go to the kitchen and eat a graham cracker and wander to the other end of the apartment and panic, cry. I definitely have times where I just feel it's, you know, completely hopeless, absolutely. But I guess I've been doing this for, you know, not forever, but for a number of years, so that so far, at least, it's been my experience that those times do pass.
What got you first interested in cartoons? Did you read them when you were growing up?
I always liked to look at cartoons when I was a kid.
Which kinds did you read?
I liked Charles Adams a whole lot.
He was in The New Yorker.
Yeah. I saw The New Yorker when I was growing up. Used to look at the cartoons. But the cartoons that made the biggest impression on me, I guess, were Charles Adams. I just thought he was just terrific. Still do.
What about comic books?
They weren't really that approved of when I was a kid by my parents, so I didn't really do a ton of comic book reading until I was a little bit older. 25, 30, no.
You went to college at the Rhode Island School of Design. Did you want to be a painter or an illustrator when you went to school?
I kind of had some dreams about being a painter for a while. I did major in painting, and I really liked it, but I'm sort of a bad painter, so I didn't really follow that up.
Well, when you were in school, were you able to tell teachers that your real ambition was to be a cartoonist? Would that have been taken seriously?
I don't think that I really had it as an ambition, because I really didn't think that what I did, I didn't really know that it could be a job, really.
When you got out of school, did you try to get a job before becoming a freelance cartoonist?
What did I do? No, I just really started taking... Well, I for a while I thought I would be very practical and do illustration. And I did take around a portfolio for that for a little while, and I got a tiny bit of work doing that. But it wasn't really... It was sort of depressing.
Are there things that come your way that you save because you know that there will eventually be a good idea for a cartoon?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't even know if I think that directly. I do save things here and there that may never find their way into a cartoon, but that I kind of like.
Such as?
Recently I got something. I guess it's a company called the Wisconsin Cheese Man, and it's these huge. Well, I guess since it's the Christmas season and all that, it's these huge crates of arrangements of cheeses and summer sausages and petits fours and weird sauces, and it's all arranged so there's like a big cheese in the center, and then it's like a mandala. But of
I know exactly what you mean. And is there a little like green, the equivalent of confetti, you know, around it to make it look
like,
festive?
Like a lawn kind of,
exactly.
Or something.
So this is going to be used as a cartoon, do you think?
Oh, I doubt it. Maybe in a cartoon about something else completely, that might have a little tiny, you know, cameo role or something.
But that's one of the things I really love about your cartoons. Everything really rings true. There's all these little details about life. Like when you draw that cartoon and there's a little image in passing with this cheese box, I'm going to recognize it because I've seen these cheese boxes. It's those details, I think, that, among other things, that really make your cartoons so special.
Oh, well, thank you.
What else are you saving now?
Oh, let me see. I have all kinds of ridiculous things. How to keep hamster manuals, and what do I have? I have a book called Chickens in Your Backyard. I don't know whether these will ever show up in cartoons. They're just things that I collect that I think are funny, and, you know, they might not. I don't know.
You know, when I first started seeing your cartoons, and I saw that they were by R. Chast, I said to myself, is it a man or a woman? Did people ever think you were a man before you became known as Roz Chast?
Yes, I still occasionally get letters, believe it or not, to Mr. Roz Chast. Which is, you know, really insisting on, you know, something. But I just sort of stuck with it. Well, I did go through a tiny phase for a few weeks, I think it lasted, of signing my name Roz Chast, because an editor... A woman editor had said to me, well, you're a woman cartoonist and you should let people know you're a woman. And, you know, I mean, that it may be right, but I felt funny. I felt every time I signed it, it's like, oh, well, now she likes me more because I'm signing my name like this. I guess now I'm better in her book. And I felt stupid doing it. I just, you know, said, well, this is not how I really sign my name. I sign it R. Chast. That's how I sign it.
That's interesting. So you never decided to sign it R. Chast to keep your sexual...
No, that's...
Your gender unknown.
No, not at all. I mean, obviously, if I wanted to do that, in the contents in the New Yorker, when they list the cartoons, I would have had them print R. Chast there, but, you know.
Your husband is a writer.
Yes.
Do you talk about your work much with each other, or do you try to keep that out of the relationship?
Well, it would be really impossible to keep it out of the relationship. And we do talk about it some. I think that it's we have an area where it overlaps, and then an area where I might talk more to my cartoonist friends, and he might talk more to his writer friends.
Let me just ask you one last question. Did you, when you started cartooning, did you approach it with the idea of wanting to do it differently than it had been done before?
No, this is not really. This is just really the way I draw. And when I tried to do it the same as other people, I knew that didn't work at all. That was a disaster. I guess some people, when they get out of college, they really are very much in a lather about what they're going to do next. But, I mean, at the time that I started, I just knew that this is really what I like to do.
Okay. Roz, I want to thank you. Well, you're very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Cartoonist Roz Chast, her new book, Mondo Boxo, is published by Harper & Row.